specifically, would you, looking back, do you like redundancy?
Well, first of all, you know I want to tell you that to start with, so why would you ask that question? The next thing I said, it's me. My bottom line is to get the team to win. And when you don't do that, you know, it comes back to me. And that's all I'm saying is that that's my job collectively to make sure we put a great product out on the field. And we don't. I know when it's coaching. I know when it's players. And like I said, you know, we should have had 10 wins. Getting back to Dave's point, maybe with a couple better drafts, maybe we could have had 13. But the bottom line is we did have a few guys we lost during the season. And I still felt even with that, we should have won 10 games. Well, number one, I think he, you know, he understands offense is very good. He's very flexible with his scheme. That, you know, depending on what a team's doing, he's got the ability to attack that defense. I mean, that offense with his defensive scheme. You know, he's been with me for a number of years, and he knows how I operate or like to operate. And there's one thing about this league that you're going to go against some teams that have strengths and weaknesses, and you still got to find a way to win. I don't care if you have a mismatch at the offensive tackle position, the defensive line position. What can you do to give yourself the best chance to win? And I don't want to blame it on personnel. You know, sometimes people will have better personnel, but you still got to find a way to win. And you're hoping if you do have better personnel, then you can win a Super Bowl.
Given your cap situation, how active do you think you could be in free agency if
you want to? Oh, I'm not going to get down there. It all depends on who's out there. Most people are protecting their players right now. It's getting harder and harder to get any quality free agents because you're overpaying for guys that you know, people really don't want. They have holes in them. So you better do it through the draft and maybe free agents and not overpay.
Besides Warren Harris, I guess Chris Cooper, is there anybody else in-house that could be a left tackle right now?
Well, you know, Paris has played that position, obviously, last year when we lost Matt Lepsis and did a pretty good job for us. One of the reasons we drafted Ryan Harris is we thought this may happen. He did a good job for us this year. I think Cooper could play any of the line positions. I thought he did a great job for us, the left guard position. Playing against Minnesota was one of the better games I saw a young player play against Pat Williams throughout that game. So I'm very impressed with the way he's progressed this year. And then you got a guy like Chris Myers who played the center and the guard position. You know, we got PJ Alexander, we got Mark Fenton who's come in, who's gained some good experience from CU. You know, a big, strong kid that has learned a lot this year. So wait and see.
With Hamilton and the only situation, if they're able to come back, would Myers kicking off to maybe right tackle be a possibility in college play some tackle?
He didn't play any tackle. Are you making this up, just testing me? No, Chris Myers is not a tackle. But he's a good football player that can play center and guard position. And, you know, we've got some competition there, like you mentioned. You never know for sure what's going to happen with Ben. He can get one hit, he can be out. You know, Tom Nalen is usually a warrior. After he has an injury, he comes back full speed. And he's been working extremely hard. And, you know, we'll do what we can, you know, we'll do what we can do to get as much depth as we can to those positions.
Has Eric Pierce progressed as you thought he would?
Yeah, he's done a good job. You know, he gives you everything he's got, and I like the way he handles himself.
Mike, with Javon, just on the field, do you think with a few months rest he can get back to 100%, or is that second knee injury going
to be? I think you'd have to talk to Stephen Anopoulos there, but, you know, the doctors at least thought after his, you know, after his surgery, that would take him 5 to 6 weeks to get back full speed. You know, there's talk of a microfracture somewhere down the line. I don't know when that'll be. It could be 2-3 years from now. It could be 4 years. Just don't know.
How similar or dissimilar would this offseason be for Jay Cutler in respect to last year and his growth?
It's a good question. I think it'll be a lot easier for him. Anytime you go for a full season as a starter, it's a great learning experience. I mean, I go back and I take a look at, you know, Tom Brady, you take a look at Brady, or you take a look at Manning, you take a look at Roethlisberger, you take a look at their first 16 games, or their first 24 games, and you take a look at the growth, it's night and day. You become, everything slows down for you a little bit. You have another offseason to study film, be around the players, and but you know, you still got to grow. I mean, you still got to study, you still got to get better. It just doesn't happen. You've got to work to make it happen, and hopefully Cutler will do that.
What is it, Mike, that makes you predict greatness for him specifically? I'm not doubting, you know, you said throughout his time here that, you know, you think he'll be great. What specifically are you speaking
of? Well, you know, it's a good question. I don't know if you say a guy is great until he proves himself he's great. What made everybody excited about John Elway when he first came here? I think everybody saw a strong arm. They saw a great competitor. They saw a guy that would compete. And I think that's what they see in a guy like Cutler. You know, a strong arm, a guy that will compete, the guy that loves the game. Now he's got to go out there and do it, just like John did. I just remember John in his fourth year, there's nobody believed in John Elway. And John had to prove himself in playoff situation and finally got to that Super Bowl. And the only thing you heard about John when he got here for the first 4 years is he never played in a bowl game in college and had not taken the Broncos to a playoff game. Then all of a sudden we're in a Super Bowl, and then all of a sudden after 4 years there, yeah, he can take us to a playoff game, but he'll never take us to a Super Bowl. And that thing went on for another, as we know, 8 to 10 years. But he believed in himself and kept on working his rear end off and finally got to the promised land. That's what it is about the National Football League. Eventually, you got to do it. I was in the same situation with Steve Young, you know, following Joe Montana. You know, he got booed off the field, you know, a couple times in championship games because he didn't win the big one, and then he finally did. He got that monkey off his back, and, you know, that's a profession we live in, and that's one I live in, and every day. Nobody cares what you've done. You got to go get it done, and I think we all can relate to that in sports in general.
Like with Jay, he seems so polished as a young guy. What can he work?
No, there's a million things. He's got to work on ball position. He's got to work on footwork, consistency with his throws, his short throws, as well as the medium range throws. You know, there's so many things, you know, blitzes and how to react to them, your footwork, when there's pressure, how to step up, you know, how to step up and scramble. Different things that all quarterbacks go through. And they, when the game slows down for them a little bit because they understand defenses, they understand where people are, you know, they play at the level that a couple of these quarterbacks are playing at right now.
If you're obviously doing the evaluation of Newman right now, how hard an evaluation to have is given he looked so good early but then had that injury and really couldn't be much late?
Well, like I said, I'm not going to talk about, you know, those situations, but I mean, anytime there's a setback with a guy, I think you have to look at what he did in his first 4 or 5 games. Then, you know, you make the decision on what you thought, you know, he did, you know, in those 4 or 5 games.
Are injuries a concern? He got injured in camp in Dallas twice in the season. Different.
I don't think he ever recovered. He had the MCL, never recovered from, never got back in football shape and tried to work through it, but never did. So I don't think he ever got healthy. And anytime you're out for 3 or 4 weeks with an MCL, you know, you kind of get out of football shape unless you can really work. And he tried, but never did get back in shape. Well, I'm hoping it's not going to be an issue. Could it be an issue? Sure, if he keeps on getting hurt. But with a good off-season program, he should be, you know, come back to being full speed. I think the question everybody has, they take a look at the money involved, and you have to make a decision what you think is best for the organization. Because once you make that commitment, it's a big commitment, so you've got to look at everything.
On the flip side of the quarterback situation, do you think Selvin Young established that he can be a number one running back who can carry the ball 250-plus times?
No, definitely not. I mean, anytime a guy gets hurt as many times as he did, you know that that there's no possible way he's going to carry it 20, 25 times a game. And the body just wouldn't hold up. You know, he went down too many times this year. But you are looking at a guy that you know has big play potential. You give him that ball 15, 20 times a game, he's going to average over 5 yards a carry. You just can't overwork Selvin Young. Oh, no. I mean, you could see that this year. Same thing with Andre Hall. You know, Andre Hall was nicked up the whole year, but when he did play, he played at a very high level. You take that screen play versus Chicago right before half, and then you take that when he breaks a tackle against Tennessee and goes a distance, you can see big play potential. But he's banged up, you know, big part of the year. He's going to be our kickoff returner. So that's part of the evaluation process that you know, we're going through right now through free agency and the draft, and who do you bring in, and how do they help you on special teams?
How big a deal is average drive start to you after 2 years now? Is it a case of do you need just a big-time returner, or is it other things?
We definitely need a return. We probably, if we had the right return, we thought we had an Andre Hall this year. I think Andre Hall, healthy, would have broke three of those return for touchdowns. And I could tell you each one, but you know, you'd have to see it from the end zone camera with his speed and agility. The thing we're going to have to get better is on our kickoffs. I thought at the end with our, you know, when Todd obviously was released, we helped ourselves there. We had more of a hang time with our kickoffs. We had to get better in our punting. Our punting was inconsistent this year, so we can get some help with our kickers and special teams. And we got a couple guys that we think can help us that's already on our football team. But we'll have to evaluate that as time goes on.
You think Galen will be here?
I'm hoping he will, yeah.
I think it's hard to see really in the trenches what's going on. Can you just talk about a little bit about what kind of development Crowder and Thomas made from the beginning of the season? I know they talked during the season about, you know, kind of hitting the wall a little bit just because of the length of the season. And what kind of games do you expect them to make?
Well, defensive linemen, usually it takes a couple years. It doesn't happen overnight. Thing about Marcus Thomas and Tim Crowder, they both got a lot of experience this year. And usually the jump from the first year to the second year is huge with defensive linemen, and even more in the second to third year. But with the playing time both of them got, I think they got a big upside.
Do you think Jarvis got that kind of experience where he's, or is he going to kind of start a little bit back probably?
Well, obviously he's going to start behind because he's on injured reserve the majority of the year. But he's been working the weight room every day. You know, you can see the hunger there. You can tell he's got passion for what he's doing. So I look at him coming back and playing at a pretty good level.
You should be ready to go for the offseason program.
Yeah.
Do you have anybody facing surgery at this point?
Ebenezer Ecubon, I think, will be back in the middle of May, June. You know, a little bit of question mark there. Anytime you got Achilles problem, it takes sometimes longer than you think. But besides him, we've got some bumps and bruises, but nothing that I don't think will take surgery. I think Selvin Young will go in the surgery, just minor with his knee, but you know, it's more of a week to 2 week recovery time. Shouldn't set him back at all.
Mike, do you watch the playoffs, or pretty much like when the season ends? Doesn't really matter.
No, I watch every game. I watch every game. Yeah.
Okay.
Obviously, anytime you go undefeated, it's, you know, that's something special. But I think everybody knows that doesn't really matter what you do in the regular season or what you do in the postseason. So they've got some pressure on them. And it'll be interesting to see if they can step forward with the pressure that they're under and play at that same level. And if they do, a lot of people will consider them the best of all time.
Mike, as the guy from the final say in personnel, do you think there's any risk of a lack of objectivity subsequently evaluating personnel
that you selected? Well, one thing that you got to understand, that since I got the final say does not mean that I go out there, I don't have the time to do that. We've got people that have been on the road that have evaluated 1,000, every guy that's out there in pro football. We've got 5 guys on the road doing that. They'll come back here in about 3 weeks and we'll go over all their recommendations in free agency. They'll go over their height, weight, speed, what they've done, character. We'll take a look at our pro scouts that have been looking at these guys. We'll put them in a pecking order. And then they'll recommend which guys would come in and help our team, evaluate our team as well on a daily basis. We do the same thing in the college draft. I mean, I don't even know all the guys that are out there, but all these guys have been evaluating these guys for the last year. They've been on the road every day. So even though I got the final say, you know, there's no way that you can do that without guys that are out there constantly hitting the road and making recommendations what they think is in the best interests of your football team.
Right. I know, I understand that. I'm asking with respect to your existing personnel on your roster.
Uh-huh.
Do you take any steps to ensure that you have an objective evaluation of those guys, given that your staff is also the staff to pick them?
Oh, no question about it. We have these guys that are out on the road that's never here. They come back in and they evaluate our guys. They They compare them to other guys in the league that are never here. They don't know their personalities. They don't know if they're good guys, bad guys, just based on play. But that's a good question. That's that is something that you have to do. You got to get an independent contractor in that looks at your players, because sometimes you like a guy because of his character or for whatever reasons, and you know it's really a good cross check for us.
What kind of you think Hamza Abdullah played at safety? Can he be a long term answer for you in starting line?
We'll find out. And when he did play, he played well. He had some good games, some poor games, but I think he's got a big upside, and hopefully we'll play well in the future.
When is the 16-06 the core? A lot of these young players you're talking about, you look for the future for, or build from that draft, and some 2-3, 07 guys like that, you just talk about. Has the Crabtree free agency weighed against that success recently in the draft? Would you rethink how to build the team any differently?
Well, I think what you do is you take a look at who's out there. Would you say John Lynch was a mistake?
No.
Would you say Daniel Graham was a mistake?
No.
Well, I know the ones that you're insinuating, and I think that's part of what they mentioned, the evaluation process. You know, how do you eliminate those mistakes? How do you have the good drafts? Well, you know, that's what you're working for. Is some of it a crapshoot? Yeah, some of it's a crapshoot.
But that's what I mean, is would you be more apt to try to build younger because of the success you had lately?
Well, the one thing is when you lose a couple players, you know, and what you really kind of hurt is your special teams too, because these guys don't get the experience that you'd like, because they're really kind of core special teams players. So when you do lose a guy here and there, you know, the Selwyn Youngs or the Andre Halls, guys that you'd really like to see how good they are, they're playing, so other guys are playing those positions. But to answer your question, you'd always like to be young if you can. Obviously, from a cash standpoint, from a salary cap, but you got to find out what gives you the best chance to win. Obviously, we're a younger football team right now than we were a year ago.
Do you think John will be back?
What's that?
Lynch.
I think John will decide here in the next month what direction he wants to go. I had a good talk with John today. Talked to John for about an hour, hour and a half, and had good conversation, and we'll see what happens here in a month. Would you guys like to share me to share that conversation with you?
Yeah,
no, I'm not going to do that.
Did you just wait for you to tell them they really want them back and you can get that to
them? See, can't put anything over on Gary. What's that?
Was there heavy convincing from you?
Oh, man, you guys will try anything. Well, you guys think you're dealing with a complete rookie.
I just want to make sure we're clear. You anticipate Travis Henry being the number one tailback next year?
God, same thing. You're good too, Jim, but... No, what I said is there's guys that there's a lot of money involved, and you got to make a decision for a big signing bonus. What's the best for your organization? And to tell you that now would, I can't tell you. So to tell you he's going to be our number one running back next year, I could BS you, but I wouldn't be telling you the truth. There's a lot to weigh on who's out there, on what his status is physically. Is there any adjustment with signing bonus? And there are so many factors involved to say one way or the other right now would be a little bit, I can't say dishonest, but I want to be telling you the truth. And you guys know I always want to tell you guys the truth.
I'm going to say you've never BS'd us before.
Well, once or twice.
You might, from a general sense, you were asked about Hal Wilson before. Just knowing the guy and what, he's done for you, is it nice to see that maybe he can go out on his own terms after what happened with the injury to his neck?
Well, to be honest with you, our doctors felt like he could play right away. There's another doctor that felt differently. I'm glad that the doc, whatever situation has warranted for Al, that they cleared him to play. Because Al's got a lot of passion, obviously has done a great job for us, excellent leader, and I wish him nothing but the best.
My question is it more important to have a great quarterback or a great coach to win a championship?
Well, number one, you better have a quarterback, because I don't care where you're at. If you don't have a great quarterback, you better have a great defense. And to me, though, to win Super Bowls, you have to have an organization in place with a lot of people going in the same direction. You know, it just can't be quarterback, a head coach. It's got a good offense, good defense, a lot of people working together, and it just doesn't happen. It's hard to do. And you got to be a little lucky with injuries, you know. When you take a look at, you know, I'll go back through 13 years, and, you know, you got to be a little lucky in those great years. Every 13 3-year or 14 2-year, I mean, you take a look at the injuries, you're pretty lucky down that stretch. But you still got to be able to win when you have an unlucky year. And you still got to be able to win 10 games. You know, there's no excuse not winning 10 games, at least in my opinion. Oh, I think it's a lot, yeah. Your whole organization. You know, win 10 games, I think the blame should be on the coach.
So Pat's more to the credit of Brady or Belichick working himself?
Oh, I tell you, you got one of the best quarterbacks ever to play the game, one maybe the best coach with 3 Super Bowls and how many years and a chance to do it again. I mean, the proof is getting it done, and he's gotten it done, both of them, and you can't take away those rings.
Mike, was Brandon Stokely a pleasant surprise for you? Not only coming back, but also being able to play that number 2 spot.
Yeah, but I don't think he's a guy that you want to play in the number 2 spot. I think he's a guy that you play 25, 30 plays a game. You get him in that slot role, he's going to get open. I don't care who's covering him. But I think if you play him 50 plays a game to 60 plays a game, I think you're going to wear him down, especially 9-10 years in the league. I think it's a mistake. So you have to evaluate what your players can do. And sometimes you have to play them a little bit, you know, more than you want to because of injuries. But to do that to a guy like Brandon, I think, was a mistake for us and one of the reasons why he couldn't play the last couple of games, the last 3 games.
You talked to Ron since he had surgery?
I haven't. I've talked to Greek about him. He's supposedly doing well. And what a warrior he is and what a big influence he was for our football team, you know, in the locker room. You know, a guy like that is the reasons you win Super Bowls, that type of character and that type of mindset when he's not playing to influence a lot of the younger players on this football team.
Like Rod said jokingly, he'd like to be a coach, but he don't like the hours. If you could cut the hours back a little bit, he might say.
I'm going to try to get Rod Smith part of this organization, doing something. And, you know, because he's a guy that comes around very seldom. So, you know, hopefully we can work something out down the line, something that he's interested in. And anybody that's smart not to coach, you got to try to get a part of your organization doing something. You know.
Give him the Alex Gibbs schedule?
No. Hey, don't get me in trouble now because Kyle and Alex are working together, so now you're trying to get me in trouble, see?
Kyle's Alex's boss.
What's that?
It's Kyle's Alex's boss.
Oh, now you're really starting. Nobody's going to be Alex's boss, I'll tell you that. He's his own man.
Was it important for you to have Rod around the team this year?
You know, it's always great to have, you know, veteran players that players respect being around, especially with a guy like Brandon Marshall to, you know, listen to Rod every day. But as I think we all know, that as a player, you can only really lead when you're playing. And it's hard to do, you know, from the background. But if anybody could do it, Rod could.
Mike, when Rod talked, one of the interesting things he said was there's a certain professionalism that this organization expects. Mm-hmm. Harder to get that message put across when Matt Lepsis is now gone and Rod's career might be over. Is it harder when those guys from the 97-98 teams start to fade away to get the people, the new players, to buy into that?
No, because if they don't buy into it, then they won't be around. That's why you got to make decisions that you think give your football team the best chance to win. And sometimes you have to get rid of talent to give that message, to get that message across. Regardless of somebody's potential.
Do you agree with him? He said he thinks some of that's been lacking, that the sense that the professionalism that those other teams went about their business with. Do you think that's gotten lost at all?
Well, I think what Rod's saying, he understands what it takes to win Super Bowls. Not many people do. And he understands the grind. He understands how tough it is to, as a football team and organization, to get everybody on the same page. And when he sees kids with talent, but they don't have the mindset to do the little things that it takes to separate yourself, he's not afraid to call people out. And that's what you need. You need your leaders taking over and letting some of the younger guys know that, hey, this is the way we do things. If you want to be part of this organization, part of this professionalism, this is a standard that you're going to have to operate at. And sometimes it takes a guy a year or two to understand that.
When you look at the results that Dominic Hickson had in a couple games for the Giants, do you have any second thoughts about cutting him?
Oh, it's always tough. We were trying to get him on the practice squad. But we looked at him enough, you know, that we felt that it was a better, you know, Andre Hall was a better look for us than Dominic Hickson. Now, if we knew Andre was going to go down, probably wouldn't have made that call. But just because a guy has an 85-yard kickoff return, that, you know, it doesn't mean that the guy's arrived. To see if he does it over time. But Dominic Hickson is a guy we looked at, obviously drafted. We liked a lot, and we gambled on the practice squad, and we lost. But I still think he's got a ways to go before he arrives.
Did you think, obviously, the Bears game everybody points to, but overall that O'Brien's message got through and that he made strides with the group this year as a whole?
Yeah, I feel very strongly about that. But like I said, played a lot of people on special teams that didn't practice it with, you know, the people going out. So we revolving doors, and when you don't have that kickoff guy with that hang time, or you don't have that consistent punter, obviously Jason Elam, you know, did a great job with some clutch kicks throughout the year, and you kind of expect it over time, but it doesn't always happen. And once you don't have one, then you realize what you lost.
Hey, Mike, you can't barely talk about a team having an identity. Did you sense this team had an identity like some other playoff teams out there to go in this level?
Well, I'm not sure what Champ meant by that, having an identity. You know, all the thing I can tell you, if you want to ask Champ about that question, you can. But to me, the things we've talked about is what you do to try to make your football team better. So maybe you can get better and have an identity about being in the playoffs. So I'm not sure what context he's using in.
That's a big word people use right now in terms of rebuilding. I know that's always a word you don't like to use. But my question is, in some ways, is the rebuilding already kind of started or already deep into it because of all the young players that got experience this year?
You really don't like to use the term rebuilding, but are you rebuilding?
I'm not smart enough to call it rebuilding.
I think anytime you have young players, everybody says, hey, you know, is this a football team that can win with young players? Are you rebuilding because you have young players? You know, I know after our 8-8 season, my first year, everybody thought that, hey, we had 3 or 4 years ago rebuild. We just didn't have enough players. Then all of a sudden you're 13-3 and you lose, and then all of a sudden you get a little bit of respect because some of these young guys or some of these free agents, whoever they were, stepped up and played a certain level. You know, maybe it was Terrell Davis, or maybe it was Tony Jones coming in. I'm not really sure what it was, but you know, that's part of football. You know, I can't answer that question. I just know that you get a guy like Brandon Marshall, who's a young player. You take a guy like Cutler and Dumervil, and guys like Chris Meyer stepping up and Cooper stepping up, and Selvin Young and Andre Hall playing at a certain level. Daniel Graham coming in, doing a pretty good job. And Stokely, even though he's not a young guy, but a new guy, you know, he steps up. And, you know, on defense, you got a Marcus Thomas coming in, starting a defensive tackle. Crowder having a good influence on what we're doing. And obviously Elvis and his pass rush was better than most people thought. And, you know, you take a look at the secondary, we've got some experienced older guys, and Champ and Dre Bly. So, you know, Abz Abdullah, still fairly young, and linebackers, a guy like Jamie Winborn and Ian Gold, and you take a look at DJ, and not young guys, but you know, guys that got some veteran leadership there. So you're just hoping that you have the right mixture, and you're trying to always get as young as you can, but the guys got to be players. And so there's a fine line in trying to get that chemistry right, and a lot of things that go into it. You know, he was our best special teams player. Him and Beck played exceptionally well in the special teams. Anytime you play great in special teams, we're always going to look at you at that starting position. But when he did play, Jamie did the last couple games, he played well. Beck didn't get a chance to play, you know, very much, but did a great job coming in. He was a difference maker on special teams. So a couple additions that we did bring in, the linebacker position helped us on special teams. We probably have more depth in the defensive line, guys to choose from, younger guys than we've had in a long time. Now, which guys will be players, I don't know. But we do have a lot more numbers than we've had before, so we'll have a lot more competition.
Mike, with Sloat taking on a bigger role, who's going to coach your secondary?
Ronnie Bradford. Well, Jim's been here for, you know, he's worked with the linebackers, obviously, with Larry and Kurt. And then he went to the offensive side and was an offensive assistant here for the last year, dealing with protections and routes. And Jim is an extremely bright guy. And I was hoping that someday that we would have a position that he could fill, because I know he'd do a heck of a job, just like Rick Dennison's done with our offensive line. So I'm excited for Jim, and he'll do a heck of a job for us. Anything else? Okay, guys, see you later.
Thanks.
And gals.